Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to have all of our viewers with us today. We want to welcome Christian Television Network on the Gulf Coast, and of course, all of our listeners and our viewers all over the country and the world. Bangladesh, India, my goodness, Fiji, they're coming from Tennessee, everywhere.
Wow.
And it's just so cool. Here to encourage you in today's program is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Remind me about that. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Well, hello, sir.
Today you say hello.
Add a little excitement.
Today you say hello. You know, I say remind me about that because my sons last night, they told me that Steve sounds the coolest when he says good day.
He's the coolest.
He's the coolest, and today he says hello. I just want you to know, Steve, you have some fans out there. They like how you say good day.
Okay. Good day to you, Isaiah.
There you go.
Elijah.
Well, we have so much to talk about. We are going to get a chance to talk about Pat's favorite pastime football, Tim Tebow. We got some reports about Tim Tebow, so I know you're going to be excited.
All right.
He wanted to make sure that we talk about football today, so we'll
check it out.
But, of course, we're going to be updating on what's going on in Israel right now, Operation Protective Edge. I mean, here we are, you know, continuing to stand for their security and their safety and the right to exist and to live without being bothered and harassed and terrorized. And we're going to just share with you some things that are unfolding. The UN now is investigating war crimes against Israel.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Horrific.
Wow.
Horrific. And so we're going to be talking about this. I mean, in the face of evidence of what's going on, goes to show you that, you know, when people and organizations and it's just they have strategies against you, don't look for it to make sense. It's not going to make sense to the rational mind. Understand that, you know, there's evil plans and they're being hatched, they're being formulated, and they're being carried out. But we're going to shed some light on that so that, of course, we can be informed and we can pray. You know, Vladimir Putin also is offering his services.
Is he now?
Offering his services of all people to help negotiate a ceasefire. Understand that we're seeing Gog and Magog, I mean, literally before us with Iran, Russia. We're going to just talk more about this in the first hour, but my goodness, get ready. Get ready. We're all going to be talking about the gospel of all. You know, the word all today just seems like a lot of people don't understand that word, but Jesus understood it clearly. And today, you know, he wants all of us, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk really about what that means, what's happening in today's culture, and what it means to be completely sold out for Jesus, because he was completely sold out for us. Mm-hmm. So all recognizes all. You can't just go halfway. You got to bring it. Amen. You know what I mean? You got to bring it. Also in today's program, we're going to be talking about how Iranians is being reported are tired of Islam, and they're asking more about Jesus. You know, right now we're in the middle of Ramadan. There's only a few days left of Ramadan, and this is where Muslims all over the world, they do their fast, and it's a time for them to seek who they would say God is. And many Muslims during this period of time actually find Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to just talk about that. Very exciting. They're getting television broadcasts, which is wonderful, into Iran.
Wow.
And they're
wow.
calling up, and they're saying, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? We want to know, is he more than a prophet? Yes. Mm-hmm. And they want to know more. So really, really exciting. But let's jump right into today and just talk about what's happening. I mean, right now it's being reported that the UN feels that they need to investigate investigate Israel for war crimes. And this is crazy, but it's happened before. I mean, you're going to see, and we're going to show you how sanctions have been just issued against Israel time and time and time again from the United Nations. And it's kind of all going to make sense to you as we just kind of share about this. This is in the midst of Hamas, who has launched 2,200 rockets over the last 17 days. 2,200 rockets, putting innocent Israeli civilians at harm. This is not the first time. It's 2,200 rockets in the last 17 days. But if we go back from the beginning, it's multiple thousands upon thousands of rockets. This is just the last 17 days. And we've talked about this before, how there's an outcry today about what's happening to the civilians and in the Gaza Strip. But you've never heard the outcry from the media or from others declaring what Hamas has been doing repeatedly to Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear about the underground tunnels, you hear about the kidnappings, you hear about the three young boys. Let's go back to the original, thing that started this all, was the three boys that were kidnapped, teenage boys, one of them of which was an American citizen. And it's an outrage. If a terrorist group came to the United States and kidnapped three of our boys and threw them in a ditch, dead, we would have outrage.
Absolutely.
We would have outrage and we would do something about it. And so Israel is doing something about it. And now the world is turning on. This has happened before, but it just goes to show you that we are living in these serious times. We're living in end times, and it's time for us to be alert. I mean, when Russia is saying that they want to help negotiate, I mean, ding, 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 hello.
Yeah. Something's definitely wrong. There's two things. It's just eerily silent in response for Israel's situation and the lack of people standing up in support of Israel, to the point that Russia is standing up and saying, hey, we'll help you out. It's like that in itself is a huge beacon of just like, okay, we have need to stand up with Israel.
Catch a clue, yes. Right? It's like, hello. Mm-hmm. This is what Navi Pillay said, that she's a commissioner for human rights. She said that there seems to be a strong possibility that international law has been violated in the manner that could amount to war crimes. And I love what the Israeli justice minister said. He only responded on his Facebook page with two words: get lost. Get lost. Just ridiculous. He could have said a lot more other words, but he says get lost. And when you have such outlandish and just foolishness, you come out like that, it almost isn't even, you don't even need to respond to it. But Israel is always in the face of having to respond to things like this. The prime minister said Thursday that the council's decision was a travesty of justice, and it said it would not stop Israel from doing what it needs to do to protect his people, period. Hamas has a vast network of tunnels. They have reportedly found more tunnels than what they suspected, and they're doing everything they can to destroy them and get rid of them. And what Hamas needs to be doing is investigating war crimes against, not Hamas, what the UN needs to be doing is investigating war crimes against Hamas when they're putting innocent children, when they're putting ladies in front of rocket launchers, when they're putting rocket launchers in hospitals. And this is what has come out, why the United Nations is saying, they want to investigate war crimes because Israel took out a hospital. But Israel, the IDF, they're so good. They have video that shows that the hospital was evacuated. There was nobody there. But the reason why they took it out is because they set it up as a command post. They're sending out rockets out of a hospital. They've sent rockets out of schools. They sent rockets out of neighborhoods, out of homes. And we've covered this extensively on VFN TV. And we are happy that we're hearing so many messages from you, our viewers. You're telling us that you're sending it. You're wanting to get people connected to the program. Listen, we're on the Gulf Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Sandestin, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6. You want to make sure that you check your local listings. Check your local listings in those channels and get people connected, because these are the things that need to be talked about. When you have all of the world's media, if you will, in Gaza, giving a Gaza perspective, and they're not showing, at all what Israel is having to live by. I mean, thank goodness that we have the Code Israel Red Alert app, because that allows us to really understand the assaults, that are being taken place.
What's huge is the fact that many don't have that perspective. This is urban warfare.
Yeah.
This is basically a war in a city. And the fact that what you have to connect is that the IDF has made that decision to make a ground assault They've crossed that line into Gaza. They're in a city. They have no idea. They are surrounded 360 degrees by threat.
Well, give us that perspective. As a former Marine, as one who has done two tours in Afghanistan,
Iraq,
mm-hmm. Footloose, Iraq, tell us, because a lot of times the people sitting at home, they have no understanding of what that means when you're fighting in an urban warfare. I mean, I've lived in New Jersey, been to New York, so I understand urban and buildings and the proximity and closeness. But I couldn't imagine having to go through those buildings and stairways and elevators and shafts and alleyways and blocks where there's tons of people in there and you have gun and you don't know what's behind you.
Well, you had talked about it in an earlier program that the Gaza Strip is the densest location in the world. I don't know the specific population, but it's extremely dense.
It's over a million people.
Over a million people.
1.75 million people.
I mean, you think about a New York City, you think about a Los Angeles, you think about like a Hong Kong. There are buildings everywhere, like you're saying. If you're walking down a street and you're surrounded by windows and you've got 5, 6, 7-story buildings, that's a lot of buildings. That's a lot of windows. At any point, that could be a muzzle, that's a gun pointed towards you. And what is even more of a display of restraint on the IDF side is the fact that you have that full awareness and intention to exercise deadly force, because you have to, because you're in defense of those to your left and the right. And at the same time, you're also aware that you could be on the other side of a building of children playing soccer. Mm-hmm. They could run out in front of you, and you have to have that constant awareness of assessing, is that friend or is that enemy? And the fact that Israel is walking through, knocking on doors and saying, just give you a heads up, you're right next to a identified target. They're setting out rockets from here. You need to leave. That is a huge display of their restraint, their compassion, and their mercy. And the fact that the UN is completely missing this, it's just
not even being recognized.
No.
Not even being recognized. Yeah. And it's an atrocity. When we get back from this break, we're actually going to show you can see yourself, what is happening on the ground there. We're going to explain more about what this human rights sanction is all about and a report from CBN. You don't want to miss it. Join us when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There is a level of grace about to be poured out that is striking. It's awesome. It's going to come to sinners and awaken them when they're not looking. Are you hearing me? They're not going to be looking. It's going to get prodigals when the prodigals don't even know they want to go home. They're going to wake up one day and decide, I'm ready to go home. Sinners who don't believe are going to wake up and say, I believe. Atheists are going to have some light turned on inside of them. God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Do teachers have the right to teach religion as fiction? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in social studies in her class, and her teacher decided to tell the class that some stories about Jesus are untrue, and I didn't know if he had the right to make that kind of a statement in her class.
No, the idea that a teacher would say this particular belief is not true violates the Establishment Clause. You know, we often hear the ACLU and Americans United for Separation of Church and State say that a particular practice or activity violates the Establishment Clause, church-state separation. But part of that Establishment Clause says that the government is not supposed to be hostile to religion, which is precisely what's taking place in a situation where you have a school district come in and say, you know, some of these Bible stories you're learning about, we don't think they're true. That's disparaging. It's hostility towards religion. The government's supposed to be neutral, and that is not neutrality.
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to continue what we were talking about before the break, and that's these sanctions, or this the investigation of Israel into war crimes by the United Nations. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's words are, this is a travesty. This is ridiculous. It's reported that instead of the Human Rights Council, they are actually really the Terrorist Council. They're the Terrorist Rights Council, not the Human Rights Council, the Terrorist Rights Council, because they're supporting terrorists when they're trying to say that Israel, even the accusation that Israel has committed war crimes. And among the countries that voted for this now, to explore this, 29 countries voted in favor. There were Pakistan, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Indonesia, Kuwait, Algeria, and Cuba. And you're going to see those countries again here in a little while, but this is something that they've been doing. 17 nations abstained, which means they didn't vote either way, and only the U.S. voted against this investigation. Understand.
Wow.
Understand that the only friend that Israel has is the United States. And so that's why you, the viewer, you, the citizen here in America, needs to stand up. We, as the church, need to make sure that we're vigilant, that we're prayerful, and we are standing behind Israel. You know, I was encouraged when I saw Mayor Bloomberg, former Mayor Bloomberg of New York City. I often have not agreed with many of his policies, but one thing that I can agree with is the fact that after the FAA put a flight ban into Israel, Tel Aviv, that he got on a plane and said, I'm flying into Israel to show everyone that it's safe. And it's just safe. But what they're trying to do is stop the tourism for Israel, trying to say in the world that it's unsafe. When in reality, Israel is a very safe place. When I was there in Tel Aviv, in Israel, it was like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And we got into our hotel room, and I'm looking out the balcony, and I'm seeing children playing with their carts, and I mean, 1 o'clock in the morning, and their parents are outside taking strolls. People are just walking around, and it was safe, and I felt safe while I was there. And that's one of the safest places you can be. And so to put that type of doubt out there causes, you know, people to stop traveling, and of course, it's all designed to manipulate, control, and use organizing tactics on Israel to say, listen, we're going to try to get you one way or the other to come to a ceasefire, and to give Hamas the terms that they want. It's not that Israel doesn't agree to a ceasefire. They've agreed several times. The issue is that Hamas has rejected the ceasefire agreements that were brokered by Egypt, by the president of Egypt, General al-Sisi, and they also rejected the one that was put together initially by Secretary John Kerry. And they rejected, it because they want a complete lift off of that blockade that's between that Gaza Strip and Egypt. That's the only thing that they, you know, and they're not going to get it. But they will not entertain anything else, although Israel has repeatedly said that they will accept those terms for a ceasefire. You can't stop a war with someone who is bent on fighting a war against you. Mm-hmm. You must defend yourself. We want you to watch as CBN reports about the UN Council and what has just happened. Watch this.
Hamas launched nearly 80 rockets at Israel on the same day the UN passed a resolution to investigate Israel for war crimes.
It puts the whole burden of the situation on Israel when the current crisis began when Hamas launched rockets at Israeli cities.
Israel came under fire for attacking the Wafa hospital on Tuesday. The IDF released this footage showing how Hamas used the hospital to shoot at Israel, and a transcript of a phone conversation confirming the hospital was empty.
This use of human shields is extraordinarily cynical. It's grotesque. It's inhuman. But what is equally grotesque is that Israel was condemned in the Human Rights Council. It's a travesty of justice.
Meanwhile, Hamas leader Khaled Mashal said his group is simply defending what he called Palestinian land. Israel emphasized the playing field is not level. Israel gives up the element of surprise and puts its own soldiers at risk by warning Palestinian civilians to leave the places it will attack, while Hamas actually uses their own civilians as human shields. Yet with firepower on its side and footage of devastation on Hamas's side, Israel is often at a disadvantage to present its case.
I think people see the effectiveness of Israel's defense systems, of the Iron Dome, of their warning systems and shelter systems, and they see that as a consequence of those measures that Israel's invested a huge amount of money in, that there are very few casualties on the Israeli side.
Richard Kemp, former commander of British forces in Afghanistan, says it's Hamas, not Israel, that's committing the war crimes.
On the contrary, the Hamas-Palestinian side in Gaza, no money's been invested in putting civilians in shelters. And people see footage of casualties, and they automatically assume, therefore, Israel must be committing a war crime.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State John Kerry continued his shuttle diplomacy towards reaching a ceasefire.
We have, in the last 24 hours, made some progress in moving towards that goal.
In the meantime, Operation Protective Edge entered its 17th day.
Behind me is an IDF artillery battery. Besides hitting targets, Hamas targets inside Gaza, one of the main goals of the IDF remains finding and destroying the many infiltration tunnels dug by Hamas inside Israel.
If there is no border with that, if there is no boundary, if there is no limit to their access, then we are completely exposed and there is no line of defense. It's an unbearable reality.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, on the Israeli-Gaza border.
This is the reality, and like Benjamin Netanyahu said, Prime Minister of Israel, this is a travesty of justice. And so you're starting to see escalation. You're starting to see the world show its colors. You're starting to see who Israel really has as friends. It's nothing like being tested and going through the trial to find out, okay, let everybody show their cards. Who's really here? And as you can see, Israel was the only, the United States was the only country, that voted no towards the investigation. And so we want you to see, this, because what you're going to see, this explains how this voting block actually came to be, how this actually formulated, and how Israel has been issued sanction upon sanction upon sanction by the UN. It's really a joke, but there's a strategy here. I want you to watch this.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy. The only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN, because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, "Zionism is a form of racism." Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN. But today, this movement has a new tool for attacking Israel as the cause of all our problems. The UN's Durban Review Conference on Racism. Durban is charged with finding the real root of racism, and at the last conference, keynote speaker and human rights best friend Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, yeah, the guy who openly called for Israel's annihilation, revealed that Zionism is not only racist, but the true root of racism throughout the world. And what has history taught us about what tends to happen when one ethnic group is believed to be the hidden root to all the world's problems? What is happening at Durban is catastrophic, not only for Jews, but for the whole world. And it's growing, spreading, and gaining credibility through Durban. In fact, this year, representatives from over 140 different countries will descend on New York City for Durban as speakers work to convince them about the secret Jewish cause to worldwide racism. Let's learn from history and this time act before false accusations lead to violence. We cannot leave this message unchallenged. We need your help. We're asking you, your friends, families, neighbors, and faith community to join us in New York City and expose this threat and confront this lie before it once again takes hold of half the world.
There you have it. Since 1975, a communist Muslim voting bloc has existed, and their whole drive and push is to do resolution upon resolution upon resolution, marginalized, come against Israel, and of course, marginalizing the United States. This has been happening time and time again, and when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about how it exists today, because Russia, of all things, at all times, has the nerve and the audacity to introduce themselves into this situation as if they didn't have enough problems of their own, and to say that they're willing, Putin, to broker a ceasefire. This is not good. More when we get right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena. to de-Christianize America, but it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just talking about how this communist voting bloc has existed since 1975 in the United Nations. And they are bent over 223 condemnations, 40% all against one country, the only democracy in Israel. Meanwhile, nothing at this point is even being said of Hamas and all the atrocities that have been done against Israel. Understand there's a strategy. And now Putin emerges as one who wants to broker a peace deal, one who wants to broker a ceasefire. Wow. You say, come on, are you
That's
kidding me?
Crazy. Wow.
You're seeing Gog, Russia, and Magog,
you
Iran. Are
you serious?
Yeah. Well, understand that it's now a strategy. I mean, it's really unfolding. This is like catch a clue. It's on. I mean, it is absolutely on. And you think about it, you know, Putin, who was supporting Assad, which was the president of Syria, who was known to have chemical weapons and reportedly used those chemical weapons on his own people, who President Obama said that would be a red line drawn if they found out that he did. You know, Israel gives credit to President Obama for having those chemical weapons removed. Mm-hmm. But Putin is supporting Assad, because Assad, Syria, Iran, and Russia are all working together. They're all working mm-hmm. together. On top of that, you have let's go back just a little bit. Crimea, Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
He supported Russian folks there that wanted to separate from Ukraine, and in particular go after Crimea, which is basically controls the oil, you know, and the passage. And they empower these people. And now they just basically took Crimea from Ukraine. Where's the injustice there? And the international community has not said nothing about this. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then just recently, there's this other, you know, kind of small minor thing. Russian separatists who actually shot down, allegedly, the Malaysian airplane. Right. With 293 people reported that are dead? Mm. I mean, this is horrific. And Russia wants to step to the plate and even have the nerve to say they want to negotiate and be a part of brokering a ceasefire between Hamas? Listen, Putin and Russia, the bear is raising its head. And the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, David Cameron, this is what he said. It came out in New York Daily News. Israel, Europe must stand up to Putin now. This is what's being said. And he goes on to say that, this is what it says. Of course, no one is saying that President Vladimir Putin intended flight MH17 to be shot down. It is unlikely that even the separatists wanted this to happen. But the context for this tragedy is clear. Russia has been attempting to destabilize a sovereign state, violate its territorial integrity, and arm and train thuggish militia. And the whole world has paid a price. This is true. This is what's happening. And David Cameron continues to write this long letter and list of saying they must stand up. They must stand to Putin now. They're saying how the black box is right now in Great Britain, and they're doing everything they can to investigate this. But it's a tragedy. Mm-hmm. The way that they actually went and held these bodies for so long there. Mm-hmm. They went through all their stuff. They were stealing belongings of folks that have passed away. I mean, this is horrible. This is horrible. And the verdict is still not out on this. And to be so brazen and step up right now. And say that you're willing to do this is really, astonishing. But it's all part of the strategy. And if you fall for it, you're gonna be sidetracked. You're not mm-hmm. gonna know that, this is happening, or you're gonna give somebody else or something else credit for it. The truth is that, which has always remained, there are those that hate Israel and want to see Israel annihilated and removed and destroyed off the face of the earth. This has been going on for a long, long, long time. And now more than ever, we're seeing prophetic fulfillment on a daily basis. It's important for us as the church. It's important for us as American citizens. It's important for us as global Christians to stand with those who are continually being persecuted, Israel one, Christians the other, and say, no more. No mas to Hamas. No more. No more. Because this is what's happening. I mean, you're looking at the persecution repeatedly, and let it be known. It was a few countries that voted yes for this investigation, but those 17 countries that abstained to vote, that's cowardly. That's cowardly and that's wrong. You should have voted with the United States, and you should have voted no. Hands down. But they decided to abstain from voting. And the reality is that it's wrong. You know, we just shared a prophetic word by Kim Clement that said that God's spirit has moved away from Russia for a small season. We're going to make sure that that's related for you. But understand that these are strategies. These are things that are unfolding. And now more than ever, it's for us to say, listen, we're going to stay and stand with Israel. We're going to give what we can. And you're starting to see Jewish Americans. You're starting to see Americans across the country and citizens around the world start voicing their support for Israel. We want to encourage you any way that you can do that, by all means. One of the ways is that we can partner together through VFN TV, through all of our social media outlets, Facebook for one, and of course, the Torch. You can partner with us and we can partner together by getting the word out, educating, informing, and encouraging the church and others to know, one, what's going on in Israel, the story behind the story, and also to pray, to give, and to support. There are many, many organizations that you can do that. You can support Israel ministries like Duget Ministries in Israel right now, or CUFI, Christians United for Israel. They just met in Washington, D.C. for their summit, and this is the time to do it. When we get back from this break, we're going to share more about what's happening in Israel, as well as abortion laws are down 13% in Texas, and we're going to tell you why. More when we get right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of hearing for the hearing impaired and their families by testing, fitting, and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
We have a great way for your VFN Radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Every single weekend, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all going all the way to Monday morning at 9 a.m. when the live program starts, every single weekend we have Marathon Weekend. What is that? That's every program that was live throughout that week plays back to back. Back to back. Marathon Weekend. You got to get it.
Big and beautiful this morning, John Ramos.
Hey. Hello.
We were on a stage ministering, I don't know, a couple hundred men, feeding them spaghetti, ministering the gospel. And we're talking about, I think, racial reconciliation or something. And I said, man, I said, you're beautiful. And all of his masculinity was risked. Right? 200 men, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm like, dude, I'm not really telling the truth here. You're not beautiful. No, I'm just trying to make up for the height difference and everything. You know. But seriously, I'll remember that. You're like, oh, my goodness, beautiful. Yeah, I meant that in a masculine. Isn't he though?
Thank you. Thank you.
He's got glamour shots. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Really?
Ian, I'm so sorry. We're getting to our list. This is where we're going.
Thank you. Thank you for the list. Thank you.
Welcome to Christian Television Network across the world. You got to see John's glamour shot.
No glamour shots. No, glamour shots.
They're all glamour shots. He waits like a long time.
You forgot,
for
really?
Up.
You know, you were like, oh, please.
Yeah, Ian, get back to Ian's list.
Ian's
here.
List. Okay. We're gonna
you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we've got some good news to share. You know, we have been praying, along many others, for abortion to be stopped in this country. You know, since 1973, when Roe versus Wade actually made it legal to abort and murder a baby, over 50-plus million children have been aborted. And when you look at how many, you know, children have been murdered in this way, you can literally add the lowest population from you know, the mm-hmm. states in the country. And when you just take the least populated states, you can get up to 25 states. It represents 25 states in our union, in our country, 50 million folks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a tragedy. It's a travesty. And we've been praying, dear God, end abortion, send revival. And we are excited and thrilled, as we have been reporting here for some time with VFN TV, of all the laws that have been passed, you know, around the nation that have limited these abortions. You know, we rejoice when Kermit Gosnell in Philadelphia, he was convicted of murder. He was sentenced to prison, and his horror clinic has been shut down, and they're actually making a documentary. They're making a film right now, and they're trying to redeem that property for something good. But it was basically a house of horror. It was just a clinic that was – they had all kind of just horrible abortions that were taking place there, and he was actually sentenced. But we're seeing a wave of laws that have been passed around the country that really has helped to curtail and stop and put down abortions. One of the laws that passed here in Florida was the Baby Alive bill that Governor Rick Scott signed, actually close here to the hub, the studio here at, for VFN TV. And we were excited about that law because that what that law said is that in the event there was a botched abortion, that everything needed to be done. A botched abortion meaning that all when they intended to actually kill this baby, the baby somehow survived anyway, that they would do everything in their power to make sure they would get that baby that was born as a result of a botched abortion to give them every way that that child can still, you know, make it alive. Mm-hmm. Take them to a hospital, do what you can, and make sure that that baby lives. And Baby Alive bill. And it's been said that Governor Rick Scott said that he would sign any law right now that would restrict abortions, that it came on his desk, that he would sign it. And that's encouraging news. But other governors and other legislators all across the country are starting and have been doing the same, one of which was Texas. And Texas is a hub state, and they've been leading this fight here for quite a while. And these are the reports, because you want to know, okay, we've put this law in place, what has happened? What is happening as a result? And they are reporting, the Houston Chronicle is reporting, that abortions in Texas are down 13% due to this, the new abortion restricting law. They did a whole study on it, and this is really amazing. They say that Texas abortion facilities are on pace to perform nearly 10,000 fewer procedures this year alone.
Wow.
Praise God. Wow. 10,000 fewer children, that means, are not going to be killed. It's 10,000 people, babies that will be born alive. This is huge. The study says that it attributes 13% drop to the state's adoption of some of the tightest abortion restrictions in the country. This is why it's important not only for us to pray, but also to act. I mean, your actions have to accompany your prayers. God wants us to pray. God wants us to intercede. He wants us to be ones who stand in the gap and really strategically and faithfully pray, because all things happen in prayer. However, we want to combine our actions with our prayer with acts of justice. We want to take responsibility to be able to vote representatives that represent us and put in laws into place that are going to honor God and not bring shame on God and bring judgment on this country. When you think about the amount of shed blood that's been spilled on our land just from killing children alone, you know, we're going to have to account for that. And it's really amazing and pretty awesome to hear about this. They continue to say in this report that it's a great day in Texas when abortion clinics are closing and lives are being saved. This is what the representative Jeff Leach said from Plano, Texas. He said, "We are assured and encouraged to hear that 9,200 lives annually are being saved by the House Bill 2, so it was called. This just shows that we have reduced women's access to safe and legal abortion, but not decreased the need for it. And I think that we've endangered women." And so this just continues to go on. It gives, you know, some stats and some pictures regarding all the different things that are happening. We want to encourage you, continue to pray, continue to vote for the right representative that's going to stand for your values. I mean, we have values, and we want to have representatives that represent our values, you know, in putting in laws into place. And so to me, it's a wonderful time to rejoice and a time that we've been praying.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. Like, you're seeing so many just travesties happening worldwide, but at the same time, too, there are so many moments of celebration of what God is doing, how he is answering our prayers. And this is huge. And we're just seeing an increase of a response of, throughout the nation, abortion being removed.
Yeah.
And that's a huge testimony.
Huge testimony. And we're seeing, you know, God turn. I mean, God's turning his attention to us yet again. And we thank God for the answer of prayer. And he's looking for us to partner with him. So we want to continue to pray and continue to get this word out because it matters. 9,200 a year, and I'm sure, and growing. Imagine the possibilities. Well, you know, as we come to the end of this program, don't forget that we are two programs back to back, and so we have more for you. But we want to talk about Tim Tebow here for a minute because, you know, he had this meteor rise, if you will. You know, everyone's talking about him, and he went from this awesome player in college and went to play professionally, and he has not been given any contract, and you just haven't heard a word about Tim Tebow. Yeah. And he did score a deal, a television deal, where he's basically an analyst. Yeah, for college sports. I
think on ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN, the SEC conference, right? Is that right?
I would think so, yeah. That's where he came from.
Okay. Well, just trying to...
Florida Gator.
Trying to let him know that I know his, you know, because he thinks I'm...
Give him some space.
One directional...
But you fake it very
well.
Know,
sports player. You know? However, Tim Tebow, he's doing good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing good. He has his career, and he has not given up still on his football dreams and hopes. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing you could look at Tim Tebow and just see in his own life that he refuses to give up and he refuses to give in. And no matter what you feel as a sports fan, because normally the people get most divisive are those that don't like Christians, and they attack him for his public, you know, display of Christ in his life and his bold stance. But when you get to sports athletes, they try to criticize his play and his game and whether he has the skills. But one thing that it can't be taken away from this man, and I think is a great example for all of us, is that he is tenacious in what he believes. And he not only believes that he can play a certain field. This is the thing that he feels that he is a quarterback. Today, I truly believe that he could be in the NFL. Every major coach recognizes, and you hear him talk, that says this guy is an NFL player. He has the skill to play in this league, which says a lot. Mm-hmm. And he can play on any team right now if he would change his position.
Yeah.
If he changed his position, he'd be playing. Am I right? Would you say that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he says, I'm a quarterback, and that's how I want to play the game. Respect to him, because some people would have said, listen, wouldn't it be enough just to be in the NFL? Mm-hmm. You could have millions of dollars and just, I mean, they told you can't play this. You need to go to another position. He says, no, this is what I feel I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm going to work hard until I achieve my dream. I want you to watch at his work ethic and what he continues to do to make himself available to fulfill his dream. Watch this.
Bless.
Look who's been sneaking into town. Tim Tebow has been making regular trips to the Valley this summer. He's been joining NFL players, working out with trainer Ian Danny at Performance Enhancement Professionals. This is exclusive video from those workouts. How did you hear about Ian Danny and start working out with him?
Just from some other players, and heard how great he was with his therapy and his training. And I go back and forth here to LA, doing a lot of quarterback work there with Tom House and Adam Dado, and come here to get all the therapy and to get my conditioning in. And I've loved it. You know, feel great, feel the strongest, healthiest, throwing the best I ever have. So I'm just really excited about the improvement.
Part of the training includes an intense workout in the heat and on the sand. Danny Ball, a game created by Danny, is a version of beach volleyball but played with a 10-pound heavy ball.
Definitely a core workout. You get the legs from like running in the sand. What are the different body parts that you're using?
Everything. The whole body is going to be tired from, your shoulders all the way down to your feet. You're exhausted. I think one of the greatest things it teaches is just to keep fighting, maybe when your chips are down or you're exhausted or you feel like you can't keep going, it just teaches you to continue to keep fighting. And, that's so great for sports.
Tebow has taken a TV analyst job working for the SEC, but he hasn't given up on his NFL dreams.
One of my favorite quotes is, I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. And in that, it gives you peace to just continue to work and, go after what your heart desires. And when you do that, you don't have any regrets. And I think that's the best way to live life.
In Scottsdale, Gail Jansen, Fox 10 Sports.
Tim Tebow, there you have it.
Wow.
There you have 10-pound medicine ball. Can you?
10 pounds.
I mean, I know that you work out, and I mean, are you willing to start the Danny Boy game?
I haven't
game
seen
yet?
You on the Danny Ball field.
Yeah.
No. Probably not.
10-pound medicine ball.
That is intense right there.
Yeah, that's serious.
That being heaved over his head.
Yeah.
And you have to, not only that, you got to catch the thing.
You got to catch it and then not hurt yourself.
Yeah. Coming down. I mean, amazing. And this is, he says, listen, I don't know what the future holds, but I know the one who holds the future. Let me tell you that that'll give you a lot of peace in your life. No matter what you're going through today, you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have trials. You're going to have things and people that are going to try to derail you, knock you off the track. But you have to be determined. You have to have your face set forward towards the Lord. You have to have a vision from God, and you have to persevere. You know, I like to say that you got to step up, you got to step in, and you got to step through. And this is what Tim Tebow is doing, and it's inspiring because he's willing to do everything that he can do to condition his body, to train himself. And for those of us that are on the front lines, we want to do this for God. We want to continue to put ourselves, train ourselves, and persevere and do the hard work. Do the hard work to continue to advance the gospel, to continue to shed light all around the nation and the world. Let's persevere together. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I want to say this too before we go, that if you have not yet experienced the VFN Dream Center, you need to on the Gulf Coast, or maybe virtually. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org or vfmdreamcenter.org and come and experience every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Live on VFN TV, but also at 3 p.m. again Central Time. And these are Central Times. The presence of the Lord was so powerful.
Yeah.
last Sunday. And so there's nothing like the presence of God. And that's all we want. We just want to be with God. We're so grateful that he wants to be with us. But you can do that. And you can find out more how to get there or how to connect to us virtually by going to vfndreamcenter.org and find out the details on the front.